Our DNA is relational fellowship. Relational fellowship. And I'll say it this way, that's Jesus's DNA, is relational fellowship. It's not just being related, he wants to fellowship with us. Amen? Praise God. Well, I'm excited to be able to get into this because we are in a revelation. And these are fun. This is one of the core revelations of who we are as a church. That's a big deal. The title of the message is Forgiven Much. Forgiven Much. And this is part two. And I'm just going to review very briefly. It was hard to take anything out of review. You have to know how hard that was. It was very difficult to take anything out. So I just shortened up a couple of passages. And woven into what we're going to get into is still some review. But in 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, it says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, when I used to read this with a religious mindset, it meant to me that if I would walk in the light, that action would cause me to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Anybody else? I imagine that's a lot of us. And it's kind of worded that way. But I want you to know that it's the fruit of being cleansed from all unrighteousness that's causing us to walk in the light. It's not us meriting anything, okay? And you'll see that more and more as we go. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now I need to stop just for a moment and back up. On part one, we watched a video by the Bible Project on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And it's really good. It's about a 9.5 minute video, and it tells you how it's written. And 1 John is not a letter. It's a sermon. And it's written to a network of churches that John had some responsibility over. 2 John was written to a specific house church. 3 John is written to a member, Gaius, of one of the house churches. So you need to understand the context of this. And I would submit to you that 1 John chapter 1 is not written to the believer. He's throwing a net out. He's saying, this is the message which we have heard from him. God is light, and in him is no darkness. Okay, so this is an appeal to people who are outside of the fellowship. And you'll see that further as we go here. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I used to take this verse and say, okay, in order to be forgiven by God, I must confess my sins. We get born again. God's forgiven everything in the past and even up to date. Now, if I sin, I need to confess that sin, and then God, in his faithfulness and justice, will cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So it really does hinge on my ability to inventory and confess those sins. I believed that way for a long time, and I want you to know that's wrong. I said it's wrong. It's wrong. This isn't to the believer. If that's written to the believer, then yes, we have to confess. This, the word confess, well, let me read verse 10 and then we'll get to that. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Okay, so God is saying something. If we say something else, we're saying, God, you're wrong. You're wrong. The word confess is the word homologeo. Okay, and it's two words put together in the Greek. Homo means same, like homosexual. And legeo is logos or word. What it literally means is to say the same thing. To say the same thing. So what are we doing? We're agreeing with God that we need him. The covenant For our forgiveness, cleansing from all unrighteousness, is already in place. But we must agree that we need it. He's not going to impose it on us. Most of the New Testament, if you're reading it with the idea that my forgiveness and cleansing from unrighteousness is based on confession, me confessing the sin to God to get forgiveness, that's forgiveness as you go, right? Man, how many sins am I unaware of? Whatever's not from faith is sin. I've prayed in fear before. Something bad happens to you on the highway. You're praying, but there's a whole lot of fear in there. If it hinges on my ability to inventory it, then my whole focus is on sin and not God. And sin consciousness causes you to shrink back from God. We're to boldly come to the throne, right? The only way you're going to do that is if you know that all of your sins, past, present, and even the ones you haven't done yet, have been absolved. You've been acquitted fully. And there's no such thing as double jeopardy. That was good, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. In fact, go over to chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 12. He says, I write to you little children. Now he specifies who the audience is. Okay, now we're talking to believers. Little children, because your sins are forgiven. Do you see it? The word are forgiven, it's one Greek word. It means to send away, to omit, or to put away. This is specific to God's forgiveness. We can't do anything about someone's sin. We pardon people. There's two distinctly different Greek words that are used for forgiveness. One applies to God, and that's this word, and one applies to us. This word, which applies to God, you are forgiven, it's in the perfect tense. The perfect tense. And what is that? Past completed action with present ongoing results. I just told you the best thing you ever heard in your life. That is the best news you've ever heard. You've been absolved of all of it, even things you haven't done yet. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I get it. Back up to verse 1. My little children, again, specific to the audience, these things I write to you that you may not sin, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. What does that mean? He is going to stand before the judge of all creation and stand there and argue on your behalf. They are righteous because of my blood, because of what I did, and I'm alive to stand here and tell you about it. That's our advocate. There's no accusation that the devil has that can stick. The problem is it gets stuck in our brains. We start thinking about it. But Jesus Christ is our advocate. Then look what he says. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. This applies to all sin, to all humanity, for all time. Woo, glory. The word propitiation, it's an action meant to regain someone's favor or make up for something you did wrong. That's propitiation. He made up for what we did wrong. There was a payday that had to come. Sin involves debt, right? Now, the debt is not imposed until there's law. We read it last week. I don't have time to review it, but in Romans 5, it talks about that before the law, sin was in the world. Sin and death reigned, but sin was not imputed. The accounting term for debt wasn't put on the account when there was no law. Then the law came. Now you owe. Jesus came and paid. And he overpaid. He overpaid. Again, the best news you've ever heard. Listen to verse 2 from the Good News Bible. And Christ himself is the means by which our sins are forgiven. Perfect tense. Do you see it? And not our sins only, but also the sins of everyone. Listen to the Passion Translation. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. What's our job? What is the message? This is the message that we need to be sharing with people. This is the gospel. This is the ministry of reconciliation. I need to be telling people, God is okay with you. He has reconciled you to himself. Oh, you, Pastor Wade, you don't know what I did. You don't know what Jesus did. Don't exalt that above what Jesus did. So, we don't confess to be forgiven. We confess because we're forgiven. We're agreeing with God. That's literally what homologeo means. We're agreeing with God. We've been getting that revelation since we started that series on walking with God. How can two walk together lest they be agreed? I've got to agree with God. God right now sees you only forgiven. You need to agree with that. He sees you only healed. You need to agree with that. Because God has an opinion. And his opinion doesn't waver. We're not going to persuade him to our side of a conversation. His opinion is set. And all of the movement in the covenant, in the agreement, is on our side. I need to agree with him. Now go over to Luke 7. Now this is taking place at Simon the Pharisee's house. And while they're there having dinner, this woman comes in. She comes around behind Jesus and starts to weep over his feet and begins to wash his feet with her tears and dry it with her hair and pours out this alabaster flask of very costly, fragrant oil. Simon, the Pharisee's like, if this guy were really a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman that is, just touching his feet. Now, we don't know what her sins were, but it's assumed that she was probably a prostitute. Jesus picks up on this thing, and this is what he says in response. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors, say debt. When we talk about sin, what are we talking about? Debt. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he, Jesus, said to him, you have rightly judged. So that's the right answer, right? Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Now, if you're not careful, you'll read that and think that maybe because of what she's doing, she gained forgiveness. She's doing what she's doing because she's forgiven. And it bears out as you keep reading. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. So she loves much. Why does she love much? She's been forgiven much. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Guess what? Perfect tense. Right? And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. go in peace. That word in literally means go into peace. Enter into peace because you're forgiven. Why is she forgiven? Because of her faith. Faith is a big deal. I now have the illustration. I gave it to you last week. I'll give it to you again, and I have a second one. Forgiveness is in place, and it's just like you get a letter in the mail, and it's a pre-approved credit card. It's already pre-approved, and there's no limit on it. It's from God. Now, you can go and try to use that card, but it's not going to work until you what? Activate it. That's what faith does. Faith says, yes, I need to be forgiven. The forgiveness is in place, but it's not active. You can't receive any benefit until you agree with God that you need His forgiveness. That's faith. And when you agree with Him, all your sins, all of them, every one of them, are forgiven. Religion wants you to feel bad. And they want to feel good about how disciplined they are. Okay, and I say they, I've been there. I would be very disciplined. And I felt good about myself because I was disciplined. Paul dealt with that. He said, comparing themselves with themselves. Well, at least I'm not as bad as that dude. Right? We all come short of God's glory. We all come short. But here's the deal. Repentance isn't to fall on the floor and beg for forgiveness. It's a course correction. We talked about that again in the series, Walking with God. It's a course correction. And really, it's God's goodness that leads us to repentance. What's He doing? He's saying, you're forgiven. Come back. He wants us back. Sin carries you away. Causes people to shrink from God. You're forgiven. He wants you to come back. And that's the ministry of reconciliation. The other illustration that I'm going to give you. Let's say you have a laptop or an iPad and you download the app for iTunes. Now you're going to try to play some songs and stuff, but then you find out everything's grayed out. It's there. It's part of the package. It's part of the program. It's there. It's in place for you, but you can't seem to use it because it's grayed out. Why is it grayed out? You have to accept the terms and the conditions. You have to agree to the terms. That's our faith. That's what we do. We agree to the terms of the new covenant. What is that? I couldn't do it. You did it all. Thank you. Jesus, I'll take it. I agree. And guess what? Now it's active. All that forgiveness that's already in place, you now have access to it. You see that? All right. Go over to Romans 5. Now, the person that is forgiven less loves less. The person that they're forgiven right up to the point of when they got born again, that's forgiven less because they don't realize all of it's forgiven. See, I've been forgiven much. I've been forgiven of all of it. There's no more that He could forgive me of. And guess what? I love Him more. Because I know that. The person that's maintaining their own forgiveness with God, they're going to love less because they got their attention on their sin and on their efforts to confess it out. That's not God. I'm telling you, it's not God. Man, you're hearing the gospel unimpeded today. Look at verse 1 of Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified, is that past tense? By faith, you activated the account. Do you see it? We have, present tense, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Notice that there's an entrance. We get into His grace by faith. It's all in place. It belongs to you. He wants you to have it. You just have to agree. Isn't that powerful? Verse 2 from the Good News Bible says, He has brought us by faith into this experience of God's grace. He wants us to not only know about it, He wants us to experience it. Man, this just makes you want to hug up to God all the more. Forgiven much. The New Living says, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. Undeserved privilege. I'm telling you, the whole Bible is a new book with this revelation as you begin to read it, because I read it with the preconception of, if you sin, confess. If you sin, confess. If you sin, confess. Now, confession's a good thing. Pastor Josh, they were at their home gathering Thursday, and it hit him suddenly as they began to explore what confession's all about. Like James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your sins to one another. And it's our job to restore people. That's our job. The effective, fervent prayers of the righteous makes much power available, dynamic in its working. So this underscores the need for the body. See, it's about putting light on something, not to feel bad. Galatians 6, 1, if anyone's overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Right? So don't look down your nose at anybody. You know, but for the grace of God, there go you. Right? Thank you, Lord. Go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Pastor Josh said, we might be on this for a year. And I said, we might. We just might. Because this is so foreign. I'm reading to you scriptures, right? We're reading the book. We're looking at what these words mean. Whole doctrines and denominations have been built off of 1 John 1:9, which isn't even to a believer. It's to somebody outside. Right? You don't see that in any of Paul's writings. Nowhere. It's one verse taken out of context that becomes a doctrine. And I'm telling you, I was steeped in it. Didn't realize that that was there. And now reading the New Testament, it's like the blinders are off. You can see what we're talking about is absolute forgiveness. Absolute. Absolute forgiveness. You have been categorically forgiven because God dealt with sin through Jesus categorically. He dealt with sin as a category, not just, okay, we'll do this for this sin and this for this sin, that for that sin, and we'll do this. He handled it all. All of it. Ephesians 2, look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. Last week we read it in Romans 5. It says, while we were enemies, right? Then it says, and while we were sinners. And so I asked the question, what did you do? You were estranged from God. What did you do to earn what God did? You were estranged from Him, right? Here it says, we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are seated in heavenly places. We know that that's a positional thing, right? Think about it. Queen Elizabeth sits on the throne of England and has for decades, long time. Right? Is she sitting on a throne every day, all day? No. And when she goes out to water her roses or whatever she does, get a new hat, whatever, have somebody get her a hat, whatever she does, she's still seated on that throne. You are seated in heavenly places. Regardless of whatever you do, you are still seated from that position in Christ. He made us sit there. Verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Notice again, faith is how we access this place, this room, this dimension, this undeserved place. All of the forgiveness, it's by faith that we activate our own account. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now I want you to know something. Works are important. The Bible, we just read it, talks about good works. What are good works? Good works are the fruit of what's transpired in your life. It's the fruit of it. It's not to gain anything. I'm acting out what he freely gave me. That's the good works. I minister to people from a revelation of I'm right with God. You can be right with God. He's right with you. Be reconciled to him. That's a good work. Go over to Psalm 103. God is okay with you. You need to believe it. I do believe it. And you know what? I act better because I know it. If it comes down to my willpower, I'm in trouble. Because you're going to come up short. When you try to legislate your behavior, that's law, right? I'm living out of this relationship and relational fellowship with him, and it's perfectly legal because Jesus took care of it. I'm living from that place. I will act better than I've ever acted. How many of you have ever messed up? I'll look this way. Well, you know what? It's already taken care of. Again, we go back to communion. How have we been treating communion? Well, let's take a moment now, and let's make sure we examine our hearts, and let's get anything that may be between us and the Lord. Let's get it settled before we take the elements, or you could die. We got to rightly judge his body, rightly discern the body. We'll end with communion today. Psalm 103, look at verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. God wants us to keep this in mind. Who forgives all your iniquities? How many of them? All your iniquities up to the day you got born again, and from then on, he forgives the ones that you confess. Did he say that? And that's the Old Testament, right? And who heals all your diseases. It's exactly the same. And they are forever connected. We mentioned it to you last week. The four guys that let their buddy down on the mat where Jesus was, he said, son, your sins are forgiven. And boy, they got mad. Pharisees got mad. Only God can do that. They're right. Guess what? He did it anyway. Which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or rise up and take your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has the exousia, the authority, the right, the power, the privilege to forgive sins, to remove them on earth, rise, take your bed and walk. Thank you, Jesus. Now go over to Hebrews chapter 9. Listen to verse 3 from the New Living Translation. He forgives all my sins and all my diseases. That's what he said. Why do we qualify? I would read that and I would think just automatically in my mind, all the sins in the rearview mirror. All the ones that I've committed, he's forgiven. The ones I haven't committed yet, that you can't forgive them because they haven't happened yet. Anybody else? Am I the only one? They're all forgiven. Hebrews 9, look at verse 12. We read it last week. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all. We would say it this way, once and for all. What is the all? Is it all sins? Yes. Is it for all time? Yes. Is it for all people? Yes. So it suffices to say, once for all. Having obtained eternal redemption. I'm so glad that word's there. We looked at it last week. The word eternal, we know what that means. It's outside of time. But look at this. Used of past time and future as well. So Jesus left time on the day that he was raised from the dead, Easter morning, and he went. He told Mary, go tell my brethren, I'm ascending to my Father. Don't cling to me. I've not yet ascended to my Father. But go tell my brothers, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. And he goes that day, because we know later on, same day, when evening had come, now it's okay to handle him. It's okay to touch him. He made a trip that day. Where did he go? He stepped out of time and he took his own blood. The angels were collecting that blood the day he was crucified. And they met him with that blood, and he entered the most holy place in heaven. What we have here on the earth, or had in the way of the tabernacle and then later the temple, is a type of what's in heaven. And Jesus appeared as our high priest. He's our advocate. He's our high priest. And now he pours out that blood, his own blood, human blood, sinless blood. Right? Pours it out. God says, I receive it. And God calls it eternal redemption. So no matter where you place sin in time, it's forgiven. It's paid for. Past, present, future. That's what the Bible teaches. Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verse 25. And I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. So if you want, follow me on the overhead. It's really good. Under the old system, year after year, the high priest entered the most holy sanctuary with blood that was not his own. But the Messiah did not need to repeatedly offer himself year after year, for that would mean he must suffer repeatedly ever since the fall of the world. But now has appeared at the fulfillment of the ages to abolish sin once and for all by the sacrifice of himself. Now, in verse 25, it says, under the old system. What was the old system? Year after year. That's forgiveness as you go. Right? So why would we adopt an attitude of forgiveness as you go? That's somebody trying to sneak in some sort of protocol. You got to follow the procedure of what you do with sin. What do you do when you sin? What do you do? You know what I used to do? I don't do it anymore. Father, forgive me, I've sinned. And then I would say what it was. That's the same as saying you haven't done it. What I say is, Father, I thank you that I am already forgiven. You already forgave me of this. And I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And the goodness of God keeps you from wanting to do that again. It leads you to repentance, the about face, the turn around, the come back here. Please come to me. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. We'll go ahead and receive communion. The meal that heals. We're going to rightly discern the body. So I want you to say this with me. I choose to agree with God. Therefore, I am healed and I am forgiven of all sin. Therefore, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Praise God.